that we've spoken about on other occasions have been problems that we've all been rather glad to identify with. I mean, when we talk about suffering, for instance, we are glad to include ourselves among those who suffer and who need the ministry on that basis. We kind of get in on it, you know. We're glad to. And when we hear about discouragement, why, the same way, we all say, oh, yes, I get discouraged, and tell me what to do, and we receive that ministry gladly, and so on. The problem I'm going to share with you tonight is a rather different kind of problem. It's a problem that you're not going to feel too happy about, too happy about having, and I think you're not going to be too happy either about what the Word has to say about it. This is a problem that we all the time discuss and sort of make excuses for, you know? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and see what it says there, because what it says there has to do with the problem that we're going to discuss this evening. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more, much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What's the problem? Anxiety, worry. I'm reminded of the couple whose son got married, and when the wedding was over, they went home and said to each other, at last, now our worries are over. Yeah, I doubt that they were, but they felt they were anyway. And then you know people, don't you, that just aren't happy unless they're worrying. I mean, that's just the way they are. You've got to have something to be worried about. Now, I submit to you this, that if what they say is true and God is dead, and if the Bible is not to be trusted, if it is simply the word of men, a lot of philosophy, and you really can't depend upon it, and if there is no heavenly Father in heaven, then I submit this to you, you've got something to worry about. But I also submit this, it still won't do you any good. But if we have a heavenly Father, a living God, who has a determined plan and purpose for each one of our lives, who has assumed the responsibility for our food, for our provision, for our clothes, for our protection, and all our care, and who can distinguish between each bird that flies in the air, each blade of grass that grows, and has told us, as a matter of fact, that he keeps track of the number of hairs on our head. Then I submit to you this, that to worry is a sin. And that's what makes this problem somewhat different than the other. We remember that when we considered suffering, the Word of God taught us that there was no necessary relationship between suffering and sin. Well, sin does bring suffering, but there can be suffering apart from sin. But this is a rather different thing. This is a sin. And oh, are the defenses going up about now? Because how we worry and how we justify it. You know, well, if you knew my situation, you wouldn't say that. You know that whenever there is a Bible reference to this, it is in the form of a command. The Lord Jesus is not just making a suggestion here. He says, therefore, take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry, he's saying. And he's telling us that. He's not suggesting it to us. And the word about this in the Bible, wherever it comes, is addressed to a believer. John 14:1, for instance. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, this means you have a responsibility here. You let it or you don't let it. And the Lord Jesus said, let not. Don't let your heart be troubled. You have to do something actively in this case. In Philippians 4:6, the Apostle Paul speaks to the point in which he says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Well, I think he's a man who could tell us this. He's a man who seemed to be in hot water a good deal of the time and have a good deal of occasion to be concerned about how things were going. He had the care of all the churches on his heart all the time. Besides the things that were happening to him, his life was no picnic. And out of his experience, he says, be careful for nothing. Don't let anything make you anxious. And then the Apostle Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is an instruction from him, of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle John, Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. Oh, these are all names we revere a great deal. These are people who we say, well, if, you know. But all of them together have said this, that we are not to worry. And I submit this to you. We have no option about this. It's not a case of whether we feel like it or don't feel like it, or what the circumstances are, or what the circumstances aren't. The instructions in the Word of God to you and me are, we are not to worry. Right away we say, oh yeah, but that's my point. The Word of God says we are not to worry. Now, so we'll change the name of it. We'll call it something else. But we may fool ourselves. We won't fool the Lord. So let's face it, shall we? We all worry. Maybe we don't all. Somebody here that doesn't worry? Because I'd like to talk to you. We all worry then. All right. And can I make a suggestion to you that the Word of God says this? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we're worrying, we are going counter to the express will of God, and we are sinning, and we need to confess this before the Lord. And he'll forgive us You can start over again with them. The Lord is always ready for this. But I submit to you to do this too, that if you do not confess this as a sin, and you continue to worry, you have broken your fellowship with the Lord. And sometimes you might wonder why things don't seem as real as they should in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now this is, you know, you don't have to go out and steal something in order to break your fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to commit some overt act like that that horrifies everybody in order for you to break your fellowship with the Lord. All you need to do is worry, as a matter of fact. Now, what is worry? I want us to include too much here. We are told that a man who does not provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. The Bible says that. So it's our responsibility to provide for our loved ones. This is our responsibility. And we're instructed in the Word of God. We're told in the Word of God by the Lord Jesus that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. But the idea of making that revelation to us by the Lord was to for us to smarten up, to be wise. And the Proverbs say, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the foolish pass on and are punished. In other words, people that have no foresight, that don't bring wisdom and good sense to their lives, they get in trouble. And this is because they're foolish. So I'm not talking about not having foresight and not recognizing your responsibilities, not being wise about how you handle affairs. I'm not saying go through life in a sort of a daze, that happy boy attitude. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the worry that assumes the responsibilities that are not ours, that take upon our own shoulders the thing God has promised to take care of for us. And you know, the more you get into the Word of God, the more you realize how much He has taken on, how ready He is to do for us in every department of our lives. And then we assume the responsibilities that we are not able to meet, and then we're upset by it and we worry about it. So that this boils down to saying, let God be God. Let God rule in our lives in those areas in which He wants to rule in our lives. Let Him provide in those areas in which He has said, I will provide. I'm going to take care of this. Now, we've got some of those areas set before us in the part of the Word we have just read. For instance, eating and drinking. This is something that's very close. And anybody here doesn't eat or drink? Everybody here eats and drinks, too. All right, this is an area that the Lord has taken the responsibility in. You won't go hungry. He will see to it that this is provided for you. He says, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Don't worry about this. I'll take care of it, he says. This is material things. We have a great attachment for our material things. And he says, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. We do a lot of worrying about our bodies, don't we? And you know, I think there's something implicit in this. Nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. If the Lord is concerned about what we cover ourselves with and says, I'll take the responsibility to see to it that you're covered, you may be sure he's concerned about our bodies themselves. And he's going to take care of those. And we can accept from him whatever happens in these bodies of ours and to these bodies of ours as coming from himself, and realizing he brought this. He brought this. And he brought this for a purpose. I remember when I was in for surgery one time, my son came up from Dallas and was spending a few days with us. He came into my hospital room at the time and he said, "Well, Dad, what did the Lord have in mind in this?" You know, I was glad I'd been thinking about that myself, because I think he had a good question there. The Lord had something in mind, something he wanted to say to me, a reason for allowing this to come. Whatever comes into our bodies, we may be sure he is concerned. And of course, when it comes to spiritual matters, we can't do anything about that anyway. He is in charge of that, and he is very concerned about that. And we ought to recognize that we have no ability to do anything here except commit ourselves to the Lord and let him do what he will. In our sharing together at the time of the women's conference, and the men were here together, we were thinking about this, the fact that spirituality is being filled with the Spirit, that is, allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in us. And when it comes to things of the Spirit, this is the only answer for us, is to allow God to work in us, because we cannot do anything for ourselves here apart from him. We made reference to the statement of the Lord Jesus in the 14th chapter of John when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Remember the circumstances at the time? He was about to leave them, and he told them so. "I'm going away," he said. This must have troubled them. They had been walking with him for 3 years. They'd been eating their meals with him. They'd been spending the evenings with him. They had been listening to what he said to the multitudes and the things he did among the people. And they had come to depend on him a very great deal. And they had learned, if they had learned anything, that they had a lot of wrong ideas themselves. They could hardly turn around but what the Lord Jesus was correcting their thinking about something, helping them to understand more clearly. And now he says he's going away, and I can just feel how they must have felt, you know. Well, what do we do? What do we do? If he goes away, well, if he's gone, everything's gone. We've given up everything else to follow him, and if he goes, what do we got left? And he says, in that context, now don't be troubled. I will not leave you comfortless. He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. But they were certainly feeling about like that at that time. No, he said, you believe. Trust me. I'm going to leave you alone, but I'm going to not leave you comfortless, and you don't have any idea what's going to happen, really. Just trust me for this. Believe. And this is the antidote to worry. Faith. Trusting. Accepting it from the Lord because he said so, the way the birds do. Now, we're not trusting it to some blind force, and we're not trusting to luck, and we're not trusting or throwing ourselves out in the dark and hoping that something will happen, because God has declared his concern for us. God has declared his concern for us. You know, this is sometimes hard for us to take in, isn't it? We feel like the psalmist. We go out on a night like this, and we look up at the sky, and we say, "When I consider the heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" But the answer is, he is concerned. Not just for man in the generic sense as a whole, but for each of us individually. As I said, he told us the hairs on our head are numbered. He is deeply concerned, and he declared his concern. Now, if he is that concerned, what about us? What are we saying about him if we get concerned ourselves? If we get anxious ourselves, we are saying, I really don't believe you. I need to take hold here and take care of this myself. Why, isn't that exactly what Eve did? You know, they've been given an ideal environment, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and God had provided everything for them and had fellowship with them regularly. But they got the idea somehow that he was holding out a little, that he really wasn't that concerned, or he'd do something more for them. And that led her into trouble. And it'll lead you and me into trouble, too, exactly in proportion as we do that. As we take over and say we do not believe that he is that concerned. We are afraid that in this instance, at least, he's going to forget. But he has never forgotten. He has never forgotten. But somehow we can get the notion he'll forget this time. Or that somehow this time his idea won't work. He'll fail. And we need to give him a hand and help him out here so that he doesn't fail. Or that he was looking the other way. You know, this is what Elijah said to the prophets of Baal. Why don't you holler louder? Maybe he's out hunting. We get that idea, you know, that the Lord's busy with so many things. Maybe he didn't notice me. No wonder we get that idea, but there's no warrant for it. Or it may be that we think he can't do it in this case. He's unable. But we remember that this is Elohim that we're talking about, the mighty God, a God who can do anything. The Lord's hand who is not shortened, as we were reminded tonight. And we have the word of the Lord Jesus. Your heavenly Father knoweth. Your heavenly Father knoweth. It doesn't matter what comes into our lives, he knows it happens. And he knows a great deal more about it than you or I know. He knows where that thing began. He knows why it began, the course it's taking, where it'll end. He knows all about it, and he knows all about you and me at the same time, and where we got mixed up in this thing, and how best we are, how we got into it, and how best we get out of it. He knows this. Now, part of our problem is that we don't know his word. We have not allowed it to sink into our hearts. We may have heard it many times, but we haven't allowed it really to sink in so that it's become basic to our personality that we realize that he knows. And that because he knows, we do not need to be concerned. I once was asked to show a Moody film up at the Lake Geneva conference, and Don Anderson, some of you know him, and I drove up together, and we had picked up a new projector on the way up there, and we were just a little bit late for the meeting. We got up there. Don Anderson, who is an engineer, opened up the new projector, found the directions, and sat down in a chair and began to read the directions. It was about a 4 or 6 page thing, you know, to be read. I said, let's go. Let's get this thing set up. He said, we don't know how to set it up. Oh, I said, we'll make it out some way. No, he said, we'll do the way the directions say. And he read the directions. And because he read the directions, we had a fine film showing. But what would have happened if I had charged was we'd have set it up, and right in the middle, something would have happened. You know how it is. All the time when you show films, something happens in the middle. But you see, that way, we are that way about so many things. We don't read the directions. We don't really read and know what God has to say about this. And then things come into our lives, and we don't know whether this is covered. Some of you know about the time I broke the window with the golf ball. You know, first thing right off is how much that's going to cost, and then who's going to pay for it. Well, guess who? Well, I knew right away who was supposed to pay for it on the spot. But oh, what comfort it was to me to remember I had a homeowner's policy. And I happened to have read the homeowner's policy, which is quite an achievement because it's all in fine print. But it said anything I broke, they'd pay for. Great. Well, I didn't hesitate a minute to go and see the manager of that building and have him tell me how much the window was going to cost to be fixed and all and pay him, because I knew I was going to be reimbursed because I had read it. And I counted on that policy. And I sent a claim in, too, very soon after, saying, pay up. Here's the receipt. And I didn't worry about that. You know, part of our problem is that we don't send in a claim, and we worry about whether we're going to be reimbursed. We don't commit the thing to the Lord and then count on Him to send us the check to take care of the situation. Partly because we haven't read the policy. We don't realize all the things the Lord is prepared to do for us. Then we referred to the passage from Peter in the first chapter, fifth chapter, in the seventh verse, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Look at Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now what this means is roll thy burden upon the Lord. Roll it over. He'll take it. It's an act of committal, a delegation of the problem. Look, Lord, this is your baby. You take care of it. And leave it with Him. He invites us to do this in this passage. He wants us to do this. He's able to take care of it. Now, in the reference that we made to what the Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God shall garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the assurance we have from the Lord that if we will bring these things to Him that we worry about so much, that He will undertake for us and He'll give us rest about them. We don't have to, you know, sort of work up a feeling of rest. We don't have to convince ourselves. We simply turn it over to the Lord, and He takes care of providing the peace and the rest. Part of our problem is we want to make the peace. This is His part of it. It is ours to commit it to Him. It is His to bring the result that He has promised. So we have peace in our hearts. Our problem is that we are well practiced in worry. We're not so well practiced in trust. Even though we have known Him, lo, these many years. Isn't it amazing? I'm surprised at myself all the time. Because I'm sharing something with you people. I'm not preaching to you. I'm sharing something with you in which I too need to hear these things. And to realize that to not do this is really to call Him a liar. And I wouldn't want to do that. Noel Lyons, who used to be the director of the Extension Department of the Moody Bible Institute, used to have a sign in his office. And he had it there because it attracted attention. And this sign said, "Why trust when you can worry?" Now, we carry that sign around on us a great deal, don't we? Why trust when we can worry? Most of us here are parents. Many of us are grandparents. Many of you are grandparents. I suppose one of the things that hurts us the most, or can hurt us the most, is to assure our children of something and then to have them, you know, just not hear us at all, take care of it themselves. As though they didn't really believe we were either willing or able to do what we said we would do. Isn't this a pain? It's a pain in our hearts. And it's a pain in the heart of our Heavenly Father when we don't trust Him to do what He says He'll do. Take no thought for tomorrow, this text says. Dale Carnegie took this text and wrote a book about it. How to Live Without Worry. Sold, I guess, millions of them. Because everybody needs to know this. And one of the things he took out of this particular text was, live in day-tight compartments. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow is able to take care of the things of itself. Certainly worrying about yesterday is a futility. But worrying about tomorrow is the thing that bothers most of us. If we could just live today instead of tomorrow, we could live in day-tight compartments, if we could hear the voice of the Lord Jesus saying, take no thought for tomorrow. Now, He knows all about tomorrow. And sometimes we love to think about that verse, you know, that says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And we say when we read that, we say, isn't that great? He not only knows the day and the steps ahead of us, He's not only prepared the way ahead of us, but He's prepared us for that way. We are His workmanship. Great to have such a God. I don't know how many of these evenings I've read you a verse. I suppose I'd better do this this evening. The worried cow would have lived till now if she had saved her breath, but she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, and she mooed herself to death. How's the mooing? Let's get back to my original statement. The reason this sometimes is not a problem people like to hear about. We all do this. And it is a sin. And let's face it as a sin. And let's ask the Lord to forgive us for this. And to help us avoid it as we would avoid sin. How many things there are that we classify as sin that we wouldn't think of getting involved in. Stay away from it. Stay away from this. But until we recognize that this is a sin, we're going to keep dabbling in it all the time. We're going to just say, oh, it's just another one of those things, just another problem, and I can't help it. And you're going to keep dabbling in this as long as you live. The way to get out of it is to recognize it for what it is and stay away from it just as far as you can. And when it does come in, remember it is the sin that doth so easily beset you, and ask the Lord to give you deliverance and freedom from it. That's man's problem. And that's God's answer. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we would, while we've been thinking about this together, as we turn to Thee, we would acknowledge before Thee how easily we fall into this and allow it to take possession of us. We would like to acknowledge that it is what Thou hast said it is. It is a sin. It's a violation of Thy word, of Thy command. And we pray that Thou wilt forgive us for this. that thou wilt help us to avoid this and to put our trust in thee and to remember moment by moment, day by day, what a God thou art, and allow thee to do in us and through us and by us and for us all that is in thy gracious heart to do. Oh, help us to do this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.